It's Classical Spotlight, and in the Texas Public Radio studios is the soloist for this weekend's San Antonio Symphony Concert, Martina Filiak. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. To have you here. Defia is such a cool piece. To me, there's almost a bit of Gershwin that kind of comes through, this sort of jazz in a way, but there's such great pictures that come through in these. I know the movements are all sort of hooked together. Tell us a little bit about your history of playing this piece.
Well, I'm actually very impressed that you have compared it to Gershwin in a similar way. I feel similarly about performing Defia with orchestra as I do about Gershwin, not so much because of its colors, but because of another thing that I think is even more apparent in the Nights in the Gardens of Spain than in the Rhapsody in Blue. And that is an incredibly sensitive balance between the piano and the orchestra that you need to keep in mind about all the time. Now, my history performing this piece is not that brief. I've performed it quite a number of times before, and the last year I actually had even, I would say, the honor of performing it in Granada and also at the Defia Festival in Cadiz in Spain. And on that occasion, I actually had the chance also to visit the gardens of the Alhambra Palace. And the first movement of this piece is actually about those gardens of the Alhambra Palace and about the water and the games of water and the games of shade that you see there. And, you know, seeing it and playing that music at the same time was, in a way, an unbelievable experience, as was seeing flamenco, because this piece is not only about, you know, the perfume in the Spanish air and about the games of water, but it's also very much about Spanish folkloric music and about flamenco. Especially the third movement evokes definitely a distant flamenco melody. Now, a part of that, what I mean when I say about maintaining an incredibly sensitive balance between piano and orchestra is the following. It's a piece that can absolutely never come off as aggressive. It's an incredibly fine piece. On the other hand, like, it does not have this incredibly bombastic ending, like most, you know, popular piano concertos by Rachmaninoff or Tchaikovsky. They end up with a bang bang and the audience is screaming and happy. It ends in a pianissimo. It disappears completely. So in order to make the piece work, and in order to make it really appeal and really transmit to the audience, it has to be incredibly fine. And now this is, again, the questions of balance, because sometimes the piano is really a soloist instrument, but sometimes as a pianist you have to put your ego a little bit in the background and really work with the orchestra, really work with the conductor, because piano is on certain occasions in that piece more of a color, more of an element of the orchestra than an actually leading instrument. And, you know, if your ego as a pianist goes a little bit too far, the music is going to lose its point. Same as with sound projection. If you come off as too aggressive, the sound and the atmosphere is just going to disappear. If you play not loudly enough, nobody's going to hear you. So there's, you know, all those questions in the air. I'm really excited about this. I'm really excited about rehearsing with orchestra tomorrow, and it's going to be a great experience.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's Friday night and Saturday night at the Majestic, this wonderful program that has Debussy, this Defia, and whatnot, with Sebastian Lang Lessing leading the orchestra. I know you've recorded some Soler.
Another connection of mine with Spanish music. Funnily enough, I never intended it to be so. I also never intended to end up playing this much of Defia. At first, the first time I performed it 10 years ago, it was just, you know, somebody wanted me to play it, so I said, okay, I'm going to learn it. And it really, you know, this piece had really grown in me. Same was with Soler. I was supposed to do a debut recording for the Nexus label, and together with the Spanish organization that was sponsoring the recording, they said, okay, well, we haven't recorded any of the Soler, so why don't you record the first 15 sonatas? So I was like, Soler who? Yeah, almost, not exactly like that, but almost. So yes, I ended up learning the pieces. And nowadays, they ended up being a regular part of my recital programs. They're a very beautiful alternative to Scarlatti, and sometimes very unpredictable in the way that a certain piece by Soler develops. It's also a little bit exotic and almost oriental at times, maybe because of the Moorish influences in Spanish music. So I really did enjoy that finally.
Well, they're the delightful recordings. And I imagine as a artist, you sort of want to be able to have, you know, in this day and age, sort of, you know, you have your CD out there, you have social media, all sorts of different things that come around, whether it's, you know, YouTube videos or Facebook or whatnot, that not only do you want to just stay in touch with friends and, you know, see where their recitals are, but, you know, sort of have that sort of fan base, I imagine, that, you know, that interact with people that, you know, find
the recording. Sure, I do this too. Many artists do this nowadays. But sometimes it can also be very treacherous. I think still the real moments and the only moments of real truth are those couple of seconds or couple of milliseconds that happen right in between you play your last note and right before the applause starts. Those are really, you know, the moments of the ultimate truth, and no Facebook or Twitter update can actually move people into thinking anything else.
Who's it? Debussy's The Music in Between the Notes.
Absolutely.
Right, right.
You
know, there are lots of great things that that happen there. Have you worked with Sebastian before?
Actually, yes. I think this is, I'm just guessing, this is how the invitation to San Antonio happened. We've encountered on the podium in Hong Kong about a year and a half ago. We've never met before that, but we've performed the Rachmaninoff Second Piano Concerto together on that occasion. So, yeah.
Oh, cool. I see lots of great things. Schumann Concerto coming up after this, and Grieg. And so I saw Brahms First, which is, you know, awesome thing. Is it nice to have all these different concertos to sort of juggle and refresh and being performed? I know even later down this season, you'll be performing Defia again.
That's right. I'm actually juggling quite a bit of concertos this season, and I've been juggling even more last season. And sometimes I was, you know, ending up playing two different concertos inside 1 week or three different concertos inside 10 days. It was a really great test of my mind and of my qualities that occasionally had made me excruciatingly tired. I have to say that. But to be able to change in between different composers and, you know, ultimately different styles and also different techniques like this makes you feel a little bit like an actor. And it pushes you all the time out of your comfort zone. And this is what I think as an artist or as a musician, you ultimately need. You need to always try to be out of your comfort zone and trying to reach for that one step more. And while you're studying or doing competitions, maybe your teachers are doing it for you. That was at least the case with me. But nowadays I'm on my own, so I have to try to push myself out of my comfort zone, and I hopefully manage.
Well, we're looking forward to it. It's Friday night and Saturday night with the San Antonio Symphony. Wonderful music by Defia. Thanks for coming in today.
Thank you very much.